You're listening to a very special episode of the Ninja Consultant Podcast, where
we get to claim this?
No, not really.
This
I don't
is
know.
Us?
Who knows? Which show? Whose show is this?
We have the rock, it's probably ours. Scissors or something.
It's
sure as hell not.
It's a Marvel team up.
Oh, it's like some kind of super friends.
I was actually hoping it was like the very special episode because it was the drug episode.
Right, right.
Blossom sure. finds out that she's got to get an abortion.
That's also true.
Again?
And it's Joey's.
So what is the topic today? Oh, wait, first we should go, who are our guests here? We have James, who's been on our show before.
Yes, I'm the angry otaku from animepodcast.net.
Much to the detriment...
I mean, you think you're so big and high and mighty just because Robotech the Shadow Chronicles gets to include the animepodcast.net interview with Tommy Yoon, so all Robotech land people all bow before the awesome might of animepodcast.net.
And when was the last time he was in your neighborhood?
He actually was in Chibipaw. And I was going to ask him what his favorite type of pie was.
That's clever. Yeah, that was Daryl, by the way.
But
who needs no introduction?
Right. He pretty much introduces himself. And we have Ed Chavez, who I also have had on the show before, and he does the manga cast. He works for every manga company, as we learned today, from Publishers Weekly, where he's like, I can't report on the following panels because of conflict of interest. All of them, except perhaps CMX and Viz.
And Vertical. No, actually, Viz.
You are reporting
Viz,
a Vertical.
Viz is on the payroll. On their payroll. That should not be.
But you work for everyone else.
Divulged.
At this point.
Oh.
Well, then you shouldn't have said that.
Well,
then
you're, are you saying you're a dishonest interviewer or reviewer?
Yes, actually.
Oh. Man. You're the reason why journalism is in such a dire condition.
No, that's us. That's us.
It's our fault.
Yeah.
All right.
What did
Pop
we do?
Culture shock is paid off by AWA millions.
Not at all.
I'm looking forward to spending that money.
Yeah.
So is Dave.
Yeah.
He doesn't write for Pop Culture Shock.
Yet.
At all.
I was referring to the spending of AWA millions.
Oh, that.
All right.
So what happened at this New York Anime Festival that transpired today?
Oh, it was the ICV2 conference, so it was for professionals and press, and who else? Like librarians? Yeah. Retailers?
Librarians aren't professionals?
No. Oh. Yes.
Employees of Diamond Comics are considered professionals?
Basically,
yes.
Play haters as well. Khan was there. Anybody could talk their way in. Basically, we got into this.
Except Tycho Baba.
Yeah, except Tycho Baba, like I mentioned earlier.
Who is Tycho Baba? Is it like a cross between Tycho Brahe and Yubaba?
Yes.
Tycho Baba,
Baba Yaga.
That's her real name.
And actually,
if you know New York Tokyo, NYT, or Gamers Night Groove.
Oh, what if you don't?
Well, then you don't
live in.
Is she just some cosplay whore?
No. She's not a cosplayer.
No, actually, she cosplays like for a living.
Oh, so she's a cosplay slut-chan.
That's really what she wears every day.
Oh.
Kind of
it's not really a character.
Stupendous.
It's not cosplay, it's just cos, I think.
But I didn't bring up Tycho Baba, so stop jumping on me for...
Listen, I just
you
wanted
did bring
to
her
know...
Up.
Yeah, as a matter of fact...
Not this time.
Right
you
now,
did bring her up, if you go back to the court record.
Right now, if you go back to who said what, Noah,
that's
I
right.
think, was the first one.
Noah, James, what's the difference? It's all the same people on that side of the table.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we got to listen to the CEO of 4Kids say that he's done with Japan. He's so done with them.
Because he's too busy making brats and slutifying an entire generation of children.
He plugged Chaotix specifically.
Oh, Chaotix. I can remember getting a whole lot of emails about, hey, do you want makers of Chaotix to be on your show on AWO? And I was like, well, what is Chaotix? Chaotix is the hot new collectible card game that is sweeping. Actually, we are an anime podcast. Go away.
I like that the email...
And then they kept sending us emails anyway.
I like the email was written in that voice, too. Chaotix is the hot new card game.
Well, that's what...
Chaotix
it's
TM,
very
isn't it?
False, shallow, hollow PR speak. That's what these emails were written in.
It's true.
And they had jack squat to do with the scope of our show, and so I said no.
He did have a relevant point, though.
About...
In that the Japanese companies and American companies seem to always end up meeting at loggerheads when it comes to doing... co-productions, and co-productions is really going to be the only way that anime is going to survive in terms of being a viable home media entity supporting other licenses.
This is true. I can see that.
It was a point that James brought up as a question at one of the panels. But I did. I actually recorded the panels, and they might get released before this show, depending on how things go. But Yes, but
maybe
the audio
Al just wanted the co-productions to happen so he wouldn't have to spend so much money turning cigarettes into lollipops.
Al is one of the old guard.
That.
Al Khan, Marty Abrams of Mego Toys. Zarkon, all those guys.
Is Mego the people who made Ball
Busters?
Zarkon, my old nemesis.
Jack Angel will live forever. As
that's a real that's a real guy's name, Zarkon.
Yeah, I know.
I feel sorry for Zarkon. Lotor is gonna just kill him in his sleep.
Well, don't feel sorry. He sold out for like $20 million, but
I would sell out for $20 million.
all those guys, you know, kind of established the whole pattern that the old guard, the companies with the money, like Al Khan, still believe in. They believe in the serialized, you know, episodic shows. They believe in the formula of He-Man and G.I. Joe, and they believe
But He-Man and G.I. Joe aren't serialized shows.
Episodic.
Okay. So it's either serialized or it's episodic.
Well, I thought you could be alright, well, episodic.
Okay.
They believe in the cookie cutter episodic self-contained episodes. And they believe that they can actually mash anime into that cookie cutter, and they're wrong, but what they're right about is if you don't have a common point at which production starts, this entire growth we saw is going to actually end up imploding, and we're going to be back to exactly where we started.
Do you suppose the reason why it is might just be the crap factor that Japan is so obsessed with, instead of making mass market entertainment such as what brought them to the dance, the Gatchamans and Yamatos and stuff of the world in favor of Pedo Pedo Princess Volume 75
that actually
appeals to a very core group of psychos. Yeah.
The one guy, maybe it was this guy, was saying, like, content is king, was his kind of thing that he kept coming back to.
That's Coppola from Wiz, was saying.
Yeah, he kept
saying this, the thing that they're focusing on Lois, apparently.
Everyone is kind of was predicting the death of the DVD market
death of the DVD market happening, because there's no way that DVDs can compete with the internet at this point.
Yeah, that was mostly what conference was
about. Can watch shows downloaded for free off the internet, subtitled in English, in high definition the day after it airs, or you can wait a year and then pay $30 for 4 episodes that are on regular DVD and are standard definition. Right now, DVD can't compete with stealing it.
That was a big point at the conference where everyone was sort of like, look, the price point is too high and people can't compete with the free content. But
that's why Bandai Visual is...
Bandai Visual had no representative on the panel for some reason.
Shock of shocks. But yeah, the lag time, you're saying, is a factor.
That's only because of lag time. And Justin Savakis recently on ANN wrote an editorial saying don't blame the downloaders, but you have to blame them a little bit. Not that they purposefully did anything wrong.
It's that they're not being provided the service.
The market is not meeting the needs of
the
consumer.
It's the fact that they exist inflated the ideas that inflated the actual perception
of how much people think this
stuff
is worth.
Yeah, that's why Jetion jumps in for $40 million. That's why you have Sojitz buying, you know, into ADV. You have these companies going to these conventions
and judging, like seeing all these people in the cosplay and seeing all the tens of thousands of BitTorrent downloads and assuming those numbers translate into X many sales.
Into revenue gained specifically and exclusively from home media. And home media is an imploding market, not just in anime, but in every single aspect of home media, everything is shrinking. And anime is just along for that ride. And for those companies to get in based on what they saw, the downloaders actually kind of gave a mirage, a false pretense as to, you know, this is a great time to jump
Let's
in.
Let's charge $70,000 an episode for a show that nobody's going to watch.
I don't know
and
about
the licensing agents freaking love that. Why do they love it? Because they get their percentage when the deal is signed and they walk away.
You know,
it's
who
like
doesn't
a bad
love
real
it
estate deal.
Is Noah's expression on his face getting cut off time and again, like second class citizen
that I am.
Sorry,
no.
I couldn't.
No, that's fine.
He was looking at me. He wasn't.
What does Noah have to say? What do you have to say?
What do I have to say?
Yeah.
Oh, they misread the market. I don't think... I mean, this happens all the time in many industries.
I just want the internet to know that sentence was not cobbled together and edited word for word from a
series
just
the way
of
he
like
sounds.
A 5-minute speech. He just talks like that.
Yeah, I'll purposefully not cut that sentence. And so then when you listen to it, you're like, oh, that's what Aaron cuts out
Hello,
of the show.
Hello, Smither. You are very good at turning me on.
That would take way too much work.
All right.
I touched her sweet can.
10-year-old Simpsons quotes that never get old.
No, they don't.
What, that's not fair game anymore?
No, no, I said they never get old.
Oh, thank goodness.
Oh, I thought you were being sarcastic when you said
no,
that.
No, those are the good Simpsons quotes.
Yeah.
As long as the season's 3-6.
So, other things that were revealed at this panel that you guys went to. Content is king, which I can believe, because most of the manga I purchase is either from the Viz Signature, or Editor's Choice, or whatever they're calling it. Signature? Yeah. And Vertical and Dark Horse.
Mm, there was a great moment where Chris McDonald, that's his name, right? From Anime News Network. He was like, a certain company won't shut down a certain fan sub site from spreading their new episodes of a certain show because it's selling merchandise. And like, what wasn't great was like his...
Was that Viz was sitting right next to him?
No, it wasn't.
As Gen mentioned, obviously you've got your huge titles and then you have all the other titles. Your huge titles are going to be driven very much by merchandise and other licensing rights, and the rest you're focusing on DVDs. And it's each title is kind of like it's going to be its own business, and when you look at any business, one business might have completely different revenue than another. One of the most interesting things I think that you look at when you're looking at a super popular title, be it a Naruto or a Dragon Ball Z or a Pokemon or a Yu-Gi-Oh, is that merchandise is obviously licensing, is obviously much more important. And these companies will market these titles in very different ways. I'd like to give an example of a particular title that's exceptionally popular right now that I'm certain must be making tons of money in merchandise. We were talking about the problems with downloading earlier. And here we have an exceptionally popular title where the license holder is doing nothing about fan subs.
What is it?
On a website that it could easily shut down because those fan subs sell merchandise. So when you have a very popular title, the whole SKU will change. I'll allow you all to figure out which title I'm talking about.
Yeah, she was. Yeah, but the people on the other side of the table were like the Funimation guy and the 4Kids guy, who then leaned back to whisper to each other, and I could hear the Funimation guy being like, what's he talking about?
He's doing nothing about fan subs.
What is it?
On a website that it could easily shut down.
Well, that was pretty amazing. And the 4Kids guy was like, I don't know.
I remember Funimation some time ago straight up admitted, oh yeah, we license shows based on looking at the download statistics, and based on what James just said, obviously that's bunk logic to go by these days. And yet, we've got Trinity Blood on Adult Swim, and we die inside.
Apparently the girls who watch it like it just fine, according to the person who's selling them to Adult Swim. But
the only way that works is if the license you get is more than just home media. If it's, you know, other ancillary goods, then
right,
you,
if you don't
have a guaranteed locked up market that already has interest in those goods.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, I love Gal Gaigar, but the money in Gal Gaigar is from selling toys, the rights to which nobody's got here.
Yeah.
And so when you release shows that are effectively toy commercials without the ancillary media to go with, you kind of lose a lot. I mean, I think we can kind of agree that most of the hot Shonen Jump properties are basically meant to be, okay, you watch the show and maybe you don't pay anything for the show itself, but then you go out and you buy your Naruto headband.
Yeah, that came up during the panel about the market of women and girls, where they said that a lot of shows, besides Cartoon Network not wanting to show anything for girls, which is true,
it has to have vampires in it to be on Cartoon Network.
Right, and so as long as guys will watch it, like, then that's fine.
Guys only watch things with vampires.
No, wait, so I'm getting to the point. Where with Shonen Jump shows that come to Cartoon Network, they come with giant toy deals already, where they're like, we're ready to go with all this crazy merchandise and toys, but with shows for girls, less so. Like, they could. There are girl shows that push toys, but they're all magical girl
90%
shows.
90% of the time, that's a lie.
What?
90% of the time, Cartoon Network is being lied to that there's a toy deal, and the toy company is being lied to that there's a broadcast deal. And it's all a question of who they lie to first.
Okay.
But James, that's how deals get made.
Exactly. But don't expect that, you know, everything is guaranteed once it starts. I mean, things can still fall apart, you know.
Yeah.
You know, right off the bat, even if everything looks to be, like, honky-dory. Well, I mean, that's why Viz answered the question about why, you know, Bleach was getting treated like it was treated on Cartoon Network right now.
Yeah, they seem to know nothing about it.
Did nobody ask Viz, why is Uncle Carl working on Bleach? Why does Uncle Carl still get work?
Who is Uncle Carl?
Carl Masek.
Oh.
Works on the Bleach dub. Carl Masek. For the fourth graders who listen to this show and don't know who Carl Masek is...
He's locked in my basement.
Oh, I wish he was locked in your basement. But no, he's a guy who gained incredible North American infamy from releasing Robotech long, long ago, back in the 1980s, when secret government employees dug up famous guys and ladies. I'm not going to quote the rest of that song. But Carl Masek later founded Streamline Pictures, which was like the gold standard when you think of, you know, callous anime company that doesn't care about what they're releasing and only releases things dubbed and cut to ribbons. That's the Streamline Pictures approach. Nowadays we have four kids, so you don't need to worry about Streamline Pictures. But that's who Carl Masek is, and for some reason he still gets jobs doing
things. He used to be a folk hero. I wonder if he still has some cachet because of that.
He does.
I think he has cachet among people who think that Carl Masek's name is a selling point to the Robotech crew. Because there's anime fans and there's Robotech fans, and maybe some of them intersect at some point, but they're two distinct entities. And at some point, ADV must have thought, yeah, let's use Carl Masek's name as a selling point and stick his name all over Aura Battle or Dunbine. It didn't work out so well. And, I don't know, the Steve Harrison conspiracy theory is that after Genion did the fantastic remastering of Akira, which was Carl's baby, and Akira, one of the few anime titles that the whole mainstream... people aren't necessarily anime fans. Oh, they know about Akira. That's one of the, like, that, Ghost in the Shell, Ninja Scroll, maybe, things like that. Streamline Pictures released in Akira. When Genion re-released Akira, Carl's name wasn't anywhere on that. They didn't even use his old dub. Steve's conspiracy theory is that it got under Carl's skin so much that he had to get back in the game and be with ADV.
That was a good release, though.
Wait, what was it?
A damn good release that Genion made.
Ed, what do you have to say?
There's absolutely no point for Viz to go with Masek. There's no connection
because, I mean, ADV's out in Texas and suddenly back to California where Carl cut his teeth. But, oh well. I don't know why people still think getting Carl to work on things is a good idea because, for one, he doesn't apologize for what he did. He's definitely convinced that he did the right thing with... you know, changing the dialogue in Fist of the North Star to be, listen, asswipe, you know. Unless you want to bleed to death, tell me where the et cetera is. He's the Ollie North of anime. I think that's his own words.
I mean, he probably keeps getting work not from, like, you know, fans. He keeps getting work from people who are like, hey, your name's attached to some successful projects. Let's go.
Yeah, your successful project was 20 years ago.
Doesn't matter. They've heard of it.
I was going to disagree with you until you said Ollie North. I was going to disagree with you until you said Ollie North, and now I'm totally understand.
All right.
What else?
So nobody knows.
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Carl is...
No, nobody... That didn't come up.
It's really something that has been kept under wraps. The only reason I know about it is when the first volume of the Bleach DVDs were available on sale, I picked up the thing and was reading the back of it and saw Carl Masek's name, and that's the first time it was ever known to me or apparently to anybody. Because who honestly picks up... DVD covers and reads the very fine print credits. Nobody.
Apparently you do, but...
Well, yeah, I do, because I have a standard to hold up to. The standard of the AWO.
I continually...
Would you like a hoodie?
I certainly would like a hoodie.
Yeah, they're really nice hoodies.
I continually think that Carl Masek died, but then they have some two-minute interview with him, spliced together partly from old footage, partly from new footage.
Well, that's really the only thing you can do with a Carl Masek interview. It's kind of serendipity, to use a Rob Fenelon word.
I got a call, by the way. That's how I knew.
What?
He looked up and he saw the Carl Masek sign. Like, you know how the Thundercats searchlight would appear in the air? There was the Carl Masek logo, which was just, you know, the middle finger sticking up.
We're going to get an angry email.
He's not evil because he didn't do it on purpose.
I guess. I thought he did do it on purpose.
He did it to sell.
No,
he did it to sell videos, and at that point, you know, I guess you could say, yes, it was commercialism triumphing over artistic integrity. But at that point in time, there was no other way that the first exposure for anime for so many people was going to be any other source.
Precisely, but to tie this back to what we were talking about earlier so that it wasn't a waste of time, have we not established previously in this discussion that method don't fly no more? That's why Al Khan is in such dire straits, because he thinks that's still the way to go.
Well, that's why Al Khan is where he is, but is that what you think Carl Masek is doing right now? You don't think he's learned a freaking thing?
Did you watch Aura Battle or Dunbar?
I've saw part of it on Anime on DVD, like Anime on Demand.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dub for it is terrible. It's the state of adapting anime into the English language has advanced quite far beyond the years where Carl was king, but Carl is still there.
Still a ghost.
I haven't seen it, so I can't count.
But
the club. Nobody saw Orabel or Dunbine. That's the problem.
And Joseph Luster, maybe.
Joey Coco.
That's it. But there was some amusing back and forth between the four kids guy. Al Khan, that's his name?
Yeah.
And the guy...
Al Khan and his brother Al Qaeda.
And the other guy... Who was the other guy who was arguing with him?
He was battling with... was Rich Johnson from Yen Press, who used to work for DC Comics for the longest.
Right, so he had a very, DC Comics perspective. So he was going on about, manga exploding in the bookstores and blah, blah, and it's great, and Borders, and Al Khan was like...
Is DC really the person, or people from DC really the people to talk to if you want an explanation of why manga works?
Well, he was now he works for Yen Press, so whatever. Then Al was like... Well, when you step outside of Borders into the real world,
outside of Borders into the real world, where books are just dropped from the sky.
No, it's
where
the
books,
opposite.
Real people
don't
read
it. No, when
step
Al
outside
jumped,
of Borders into the real world, the direct market comic book store.
When Al jumped on him, it was because Rich asserted the idea that Spider-Man graphic novel sales were somehow responsible for the boom in merchandising that happened exactly when the movie came out.
All right, well, he deserves to get jumped on for that, because that's just completely delusional.
Yeah, no, and that's why Al jumped on him, and then but he wouldn't drop it. Rich wouldn't drop it at all.
Did Al just ask the guy to put him in his place? Look, if everybody who saw that Spider-Man movie went and bought one solitary issue of a Spider-Man comic, would the comic book industry be in any sort of trouble ever again? Yes or no?
That would be a good question. No, that's not the way he worded it.
That's how Dan Baker would phrase it.
Now, he worded it a little bit more harshly, but it does kind of throw into sharp relief the idea that people who support certain markets have that their, ability to support that niche market has an effect on what happens in mainstream media, and Al was saying no, it has much more to do with just how capital investment works, how entertainment media works, and if you don't like it, then tough, because that's how it is. And although Al was partially right,
he's also sounding partially wrong.
He, not only did he sound partially wrong, but he sounded partially like a douchebag in the way he said it.
I think he can't sound partially like a douchebag.
Here in the States, talk about graphic novels. That is so totally ludicrous, because what drove Spider-Man? The graphic novels or four movies that have grossed over $1 billion?
I
mean, the problem is about, no, but no, not even a combination. Without the movies, there would be no one would care. And the same thing that's happening in Hollywood now.
But
they're realizing,
look at movie adaptations.
Hollywood is realizing that if you put together a terrific movie, look at Transformers. My goodness, that's actually a manga. Come on, where Transformers came from? It came from Takara. In Japan.
I actually believe, if you look at the numbers, the boom in graphic novels started before Spider-Man 1 came out.
The boom? You couldn't sell four pieces of properties off the graphic novels. Please, give me a wait. I mean, I'm talking about merchandise.
So why are you here?
Why am I here? Because I want to try and get people to be much more creative in Japan. I want them to think about
it. You don't think going from, because I was there at the beginning, think that going from a section this small in a bookstore, and granted it's not merchandising, mm-hmm. but going to a section the size of a football field in a Borders or B&N, or Books a Million or Hastings, a significant boom that's just happenstance, and it's not, believe me, it's not driven just off the movies.
Well, again,
believe me, Can I finish my sentence,
sure.
please?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Why, thank you. The boom that you get off of a movie is not as significant as you get from the whole category being lifted by many other things, including the availability of the material for the first time in bookstores and on the internet. So I think the fact that you're dismissing it because of a couple movies is rather silly.
Except the fact that if you look at the top...
Everybody else can leave.
If you look at the top 100 licenses right now in the United States, the only one that's in there, the only two that's in there are Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh! There's nothing else. So, I mean, if NPD is lying to us about the size of these businesses, or if the licensing books and all the other the periodicals that are lying about retail sales... You can live in a little fairy tale about how much you're selling in Borders. Borders has got a problem generally, so does all these people. They're not selling as much books as they used to sell. So in your little niche, your little world, you might be great, but in the big world, it's not working.
Go ahead.
Guess I better chime in here.
Let's hear it.
Well, I think actually both sides have a certain validity to their point.
Baby in hand.
My fellow Americans. I'm not trying to be too political here, but Al sees, he made his big bucks off of big mass brands, have to sell lots of merchandise, have to get into Walmart. The titles he's talking about here is not going to get into Walmart because it's not going to turn anywhere near the level it needs to turn to be have one those 1,700 SKUs we were talking about all go into Walmart. I think what's happening is it's that, yes, graphic novels have grown quickly, but it's still a niche market that is going to saturate out to cover its niche, but it was just so small to begin with that it's got to reach up to its plateau quickly, and then once it hits its plateau, it's going to niche out as a niche market. That's what I think. So those are never going to be titles where Al is going to be satisfied, because you're never going to get a big Mattel and those guys to make toys and, you know, EA to make a video game, because it's not that large a brand. So sometimes I think you're kind of in two different worlds, a niche world versus a mass world, and that's where I see some disagreement. But
thanks, brother.
There was a lot of full... I would like to point out to you that the manga you're looking at on these shelves, a lot of it was sent for free from reviews. So...
All right, because I was looking at... Robot. Wow, I didn't know Aaron liked little yeah. boys.
Oh, I got another
little girls.
The MP sent me more free porn in the mail the other day too. It's the MOOC. It's another name for a magazine book that contains only some child pornography, less than 1%.
Oh, well, then it's okay.
1%.
Well, listen.
I'd have to say there's a lot more than
2%.
What, you're talking about the thing that you just got?
Yeah.
That's 180%. The thing is all child pornography.
Noah, haven't you learned that child pornography is acceptable if girls are into it?
This is not a book aimed at girls at all.
Pedophilia is acceptable if you're a girl and you're a pedophile.
The headlines suggest otherwise.
Well, then, no, the headlines suggest that older guys are pissed off that wasn't happening when they were their age.
Yeah, that's the general response to when those stories break. The general response when it's the opposite way around is, well, have fun being sentenced to butt sex. That's what the judge should sentence people to. They sentence you to butt sex for 5 years. Like non-stop fissures and blood all over the place. never is. Tears.
I need a drink.
This show gets the explicit rating.
Every episode of the Ninja Consultant podcast should. I mean, we've got the Tachikoma with the lei staring at you the whole time, being ominous.
Yeah, he's having vacation Tachikoma. He's having a nice time.
He's a Haitian Tachikoma?
No,
he's on vacation.
Oh, okay, because I was going to start making off-color comments about the people who drive badly in my neighborhood. I live in South Florida. It's just a statement of observation.
But yeah, if we're sort of done talking about the ICV2 panel, which I'm sure we're not, it's going to be all ICV2 panel talk on it. I have some questions about some comments you posted on our Live Journal podcast site. Comments which I could read right now.
I gimmick post exclusively.
What? Why?
What is the gimmick?
Why do you do that?
Because it's a gimmick.
Sorry, you lost me.
What?
Gimmick posting is intensely humorous. That's why. No, there's a book entitled Rant, an Oral Biography of Buster Casey.
I tried to listen to that, but it turned out to be really depressing and horrible.
Yes, it is, and it's actually a very, very good book. It's the kind of book that you can ruin completely in one sentence, so I always, whenever I recommend it to people, I just put it in front of them, or I start playing it while we're in the car, without explaining anything about it, because if you know anything about it going in, you'll...
I didn't make it through all the way through chapter one, and then I deleted all the files.
That's pretty wretched, because chapter one is just Wallace Boyer talking about...
I guess I made it through two chapters.
Okay. Gerald was also too weak to make it through it. The problem is that it's a very, very good book, but there's a character in it named Green Taylor Sims, and the way the book is structured is that it's very much like Citizen Kane. It's interviews with people talking about the main character, whom we never actually hear from himself. And through various testimonials, we hear about this bizarre life that this guy led. And one of the people is named Green Taylor Sims. We don't ever actually hear Green Taylor Sims speak. the quotes always begin with, from the field notes of Green Taylor Sims.
That's why all your and so all my are from the field
comments
notes
are from the field notes of Daryl Surratt.
Oh, I see. Podcaster, comma
historian. Because right. Green Taylor Sims is a nighttimer, comma historian.
So
that
exactly
is the gimmick.
What you've written here from the field notes of Daryl Surratt, podcast historian.
I took a Green Taylor Sims quote and did a find replace on it, replacing certain, like, you know, Tooth Fairy with otaku or Santa Claus with cosplay, so and that was it.
So it's all a bunch of nonsense.
No, it actually applied exactly to what was going on.
All right, so it says...
It was very apt. It's just your listener was not powerful enough to understand high concept
jokes. Listener is Paul Starr.
Paul Starr is not a high concept human being, then.
Oh, harsh.
Okay, here we go. So it says, an otaku who has never coached with cosplay may never develop an ability to imagine. To him, nothing exists except the literal and tangible. An otaku who is delusional... Who's delusioned abruptly by his peers or siblings... Disillusioned abruptly by his peers or siblings, being ridiculed for his faith and imagination, may choose never to believe in anything, tangible or intangible, again. To never trust or wonder. I guess it makes sense when you replace it with Tooth Fairy.
Tooth Fairy and Santa Claus and Easter Bunny.
But an otaku who relinquishes the illusions of not just cosplay, but also anime
music videos... The bracketed
videos.
Statements I had to put in so that it would actually makes still sense. Make sense.
Okay. Illusions of not just cosplay, but also anime music videos, and the dread specter of moe... That otaku may come away with the most important skill set. That otaku may recognize the strength in his own imagination and faith. He will embrace the ability to create his own reality. That otaku becomes his own authority. He determines the nature of his world, his own vision, and by doing so, by the power of example, he determines the reality of the other two types, those who can't imagine and those who can't trust.
Yeah, that's
that
basically
is freaking awesome.
It is. It's awesome, and it's also how the Anime World Order podcast came to exist and what it does to this day.
I guess it makes more sense having read it now. No.
I believe in that. That's awesome.
All right.
It is.
It's Screw cosplayer.
And it's a good book. I strongly recommend
is that what
the
you just take out
of- rant
that's what,
audiobook.
That's what I took out of it.
All right. Very good that answers stuff. That question.
So, see, there's always method to the madness. It is never just arbitrary, beatard babbling. It's always the TV's Frank. We never ask ourselves who's going to get this. We just tell ourselves... The right people are going to get this.
I salute you for making an obscure literary reference and using the word beatard in the same term.
That's how I roll.
Yeah, well, I take care of that.
Okay.
Daryl, I hear you like mudkips.
No, Gerald's going to marry one for a green card.
Oh, don't call that girl a mudkip.
She's a gothic Lolita mudkip.
She's awesome.
She was dressed as a gothic Lolita mudkip.
She also
she's
dresses
real?
Your hero, the
yeah,
Air Master.
She's real.
She dresses the Air Master
she's
chick.
She's the face.
The face.
The face.
Are we violating all kinds of confidences here?
No.
Well, only Darryl. Like three. Anyway, Darryl. She's just his roommate. Somebody. You don't know anything about green card marriages.
That's the one problem I have with your podcast.
That you Gerald
and
is
his,
on there?
No, you and his name rhyme.
Yeah.
That's the only problem.
People always call out the wrong name, and it's very much akin to like when Noah calls out the wrong name to Aaron and starts calling her Dave Riley. A very common mistake.
Best episode ever.
What?
That would be humorous.
I do have trouble calling Dave Dave instead of Joel. I've done that a couple times.
Oh, that's tough.
You've caught me on that.
Oh, where you call him Joel?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really have that problem. No, it's more like the Penny Arcade where Tycho has to constantly explain. He's like, I'm not Gabe. I don't hold Gabe's opinions. Please stop yelling at me.
This is a house with a signed Penny Arcade poster. I'm sure some people think that's cool.
We've met them a few times.
I'm sorry.
What? They're all.
Tell them I hate them.
Why?
Penny Arcade, not a funny comic strip. I'm a gamer. It's not that I don't get the jokes. They're just not comical.
Sometimes they're really funny.
No.
That's not why I hate them.
Why do you hate them, James?
I'm not going to talk about why I hate them. They know why I hate them. I hate them.
Oh.
Because you met them in real life.
No, I never met them in real life.
Oh.
I've never met them. I just don't think their webcomic is funny.
Wow. The internet disagrees with you. Also,
well, the internet also thinks
franchise.
Megatokyo is worth reading, and it's also a
The internet's wrong
virtual million-dollar franchise.
Ooh, I'm hearing Ed's
know.
Down in
I don't
Megatokyo.
Know about
am,
that.
Am I the only one that doesn't have a negative thought about Megatokyo? I mean, I don't
You might be.
Positive thoughts. I'm kind of neutral on it. I mean,
you probably have never met the legions of Megatokyo people.
It is quite odd.
Absolutely never.
Well, that's why you don't have the negative opinion.
All right. Well, I don't mind the art. I mean, I don't recoil from it thinking it's ugly.
But isn't Fred Gallagher the Rob Liefeld of hands?
I don't know. Do you think we're going to have time to record later in the weekend also? Or
This is going to be a constant 3-day recording.
Yeah, that's kind of what I figured.
Every 12 hours.
Every 12? No way. We're going to be walking around with the mobile podcasting rig.
Screw that.
I've got the preamp and the laptop.
Really?
Camera crew.
Yeah,
well, that's because you have a video podcast, Mr. Man.
The future will be mediated.
Ninja Consultant feels less guilty about having episodes come out once a month because you're on the scene releasing your episodes twice a year.
So harsh.
I'm not going to say why that is.
It's because it's a video podcast.
No. There's another reason.
It's because you get all your interviews at one time of the year during like Animazement and then Space.
No, we get them. Anime regularly. Next. Actually, we have one that should be up right now, but it's not.
But it's not.
And,
look, it takes time to translate and sub those things.
No, it was in English.
Oh, that's much worse.
Yeah.
Editing video is a whole other beast.
So you're cutting down all your own excuses.
Yeah.
So there's no excuse. Oh, there's an excuse.
Yeah.
We just can't get
into it. I'll give you three guesses.
No, I think I've got it in
Rusty
one.
Bayonet.
That's the one.
I wouldn't take gangrene. This piece of shit to war. I will not take you to war in the condition you are in. AnimePodcast.net company.
Catic unicorn.
I am the one person with the least amount of media, audio, visual experience.
I don't have experience.
Therefore, I have no input in what happens.
Oh.
Okay, I guess to wrap this up, my question is, am I an otaku? What are your answers?
No, you're not.
Daryl says no. What do you say, James?
Yes.
Yes. Noah?
Yes.
And Ed?
I think you really
by democratic vote, looks like I win.
Whoa, wait, I want to hear what Ed has to say.
I think you need some work. I mean, you're waning onto otaku, but...
So, Daryl, why do you say no?
It's all because you're far too socially well-adjusted.
That's also my argument. And, James, why do you say yes?
Because all I have to do is look around, and it's a state of mind. And if anyone here can write down the kanji for otaku, separate the two radicals, tell me what they mean...
Your house is what it means. It means your house is a polite way of saying your house.
Your house is on fire.
Because the people who are attacking, they're always in their house.
And the two radicals?
I don't know any of that crappy Jap squiggle moon language.
Well, then you got halfway there. Here, have a
moon
try.
Language.
Moon language for you. But Ed says I need work. In the middle ground.
I think you need work.
I think Noah's closer to being an otaku than you
How
are.
How is that? He's read way less things. He's watched way less. He knows what? You read less manga.
Oh yeah, that's true.
And I've studied more Japanese.
But it has more to do with living the archetype. Like one of these days when Ed reads through Resentment.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Noah is closer to living the Resentment archetype model than Aaron.
You're right.
And that's what it is.
That gives a big laugh from
is the true otaku manga.
Okay, so what is Genshiken, what is it about?
Genshiken lost its edge once everybody started dating and they started introducing all this stuff.
It started being about the girls.
Welcome to the NHK started, it was good and it stayed consistently good. But a lot of times it started, like if you ever read the original novel, half of it is just about taking drugs and describing your hallucinogenic drug trip. Resentment is just the unfiltered truth and the grim harshness of reality that is the otaku existence.
So how is it like Noah?
To which Noah is really
what
closer
is the,
to the
what
idea.
Does the character do in this case?
Well,
or Ed, do you want to talk about it since you've
I think we'll wait for the manga cast episode about Resentment to find out the answer.
No, that's bullcrap because that's like saying before Resentment there couldn't be any otaku.
No, I was just saying that embodies the archetype.
No, otaku post-Resentment by that.
No, I'm not judging them based on Resentment. I'm judging them based on a pre-existing thing that Resentment happens to live up to. It's a good recent example. It's not like it invented the standard.
Resentment represents what the manga, what the otaku ideal is. I mean,
it didn't establish the otaku ideal.
I think what we just heard just proves that the definition of otaku is still extraordinarily subjective.
I think it proves that you don't understand listening comprehension skills.
All right, so then we go with question number two. Am I a hipster, Daryl?
Oh.
Yes.
And Ed?
Yes.
Do you even know what a hipster is?
No.
All right, James?
I'd have to ask a very obscure question.
Okay.
How many times per week do you find yourself within 2 miles of St. Mark's Place?
Like three?
You're a hipster.
Damn it. Noah, your answer?
Bear in mind that Noah is within bitch slapping distance.
You don't know what hipster is.
I have to. Oh, good. Yeah. I don't know what a hipster is.
No, you can say.
She's caressing him.
A winner is you.
In the interest of avoiding self-incrimination,
he's looking down at his genitals, knowing that they're not going to be used for several months.
I can see how you voted in the live journal poll.
Based on
he's waving them goodbye.
Yes, everyone knows. Everyone knows that you're a hipster.
Oh,
all right.
Wow, yeah. That's not saying what you think. That's like. Huh? Are you included in everyone?
No, you cite the live journal poll.
Actually, the live journal poll said 60% no.
60% no, but you know how I voted.
You voted yes.
And your collection of ironic t-shirts suggests...
They're not ironic.
Yeah, she really does live for weekends.
She has like an ironic trucker hat.
Yeah, I don't have a trucker hat.
No, you have a t-shirt that says, I like t-shirts. Now,
that's not ironic as a tattoo that says tattoo that your brother got. I didn't take the hat.
Pass it up. She passed on it.
What about the tattoo?
Your brother got a tattoo that reads tattoo.
He did. That makes him much more.
Not was it on his part. Forehead?
No, it's on his arm.
Oh,
it's not even a very.
Well, that's pretty shiesty.
But I'd never call you a hipster.
We just did.
No, I said you are. I said I think you are one. I never said I'd call you a hipster.
What does that even mean?
It's a semantic. He didn't use the word.
It's very difficult to articulate. It's like you have to go to Williamsburg to figure that out.
Uh-huh.
And for an obscure reference, and it means that although you fit the criteria, you're not consciously doing it.
And there is, of course, a range, a scope, if you will.
Yeah, you're a misdemeanor.
A continuum.
Not felony hipsterism.
Non-felony. All right, this podcast is over.